Realtor.com is making a stand for buyer representation, and you can too. Join Realtor.com in sharing the list of 111 things buyer's agents do. Visit Realtor.com/buyer agent toolkit to help spread the word. Buyer agents are essential.
The seller doesn't choose the price of the home, the buyer does. Yes, the seller sets the commission, but the buyer, the home sells for the price the highest buyer is willing to pay. And sometimes it's that seller. To them, it's worth far more than it is to any other buyer. So the buyer sets the price of the home. It has nothing to do with real estate commissions. Isn't it true that things that we as humans are more emotionally attached to have a higher value?
Yeah.
And that's true with a home. It's true with a family member. It's true with a lot of different things. There's nothing wrong with it. Someone else just isn't as emotionally attached as you, and that's okay.
Hi, today on the Real Trending Podcast, we have Craig Goodlife. He is a KW Maps coach, and he is also the founder of Cyberbacker. It is a company that staffs real estate firms, but he's also had a lot of experience in real estate sales over the years. And we talked about what's on everyone's mind, which is the NAR settlement of the commission lawsuits and really how agents can handle kind of the consumer information that is going out right now that may not be accurate, and talking about how, you know, commissions, there's no longer any commissions on being paid, or that home prices are going to be much lower because of this settlement, and how to address those. More specifically, we talked a lot about what you can put in your buyer consultation and also what you can put in your listing presentation or your seller consultation to be as transparent as possible about how commissions are paid and exactly where that money goes. So it's a great conversation with lots of nuggets that you can take away. And if you are a broker or manager listening, this is something that you can definitely bring up in your sales meeting to teach your agents on how to handle these conversations, because there is a lot of information out there right now that is not accurate or misleading or really confusing to consumers, you know, and even agents alike. So enjoy the podcast, and would love for you to leave a comment and let us know what you think. Craig, welcome to the Real Trending Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. We've got a very exciting time in our industry.
We do, definitely. And I want to first set this up by just having you tell our audience a little bit about, you know, your coaching with KW Maps and a little bit about your background. And then we're going to launch into some really important stuff.
I love it. I've been a realtor since 2003, so celebrating that a little over 20 years now. I've been a part of, I think we figured out 1,574 real estate transactions in my career. And I've done over 15,000 coaching hours with people who have a real estate business over the last nearly a decade now.
That is amazing. And right now in our industry, agents need coaching, brokers need coaching, everyone needs coaching. Given the NAR settlement that is happening right now, where they have settled some of the commission lawsuits to pay a fine, and then there's several different things that are happening within the settlements, including removing the cooperation and compensation from the MLS. But what I am hearing is crazy out there. I mean, I was on my local next door, and they're all talking about how they're going to have free transactions, and all they have to do is go to Zillow and find the house they want, and everything is smooth sailing. And I saw an MSN article that said the realtors agreed to lower commissions. And there's just a lot of inaccurate information out there. So what are you hearing from consumers? And tell me a little bit about your first impressions of everything.
Well, first thing is, if you read it online or from most of the media, you know it's completely accurate. So trust that. The other thing is that if we go ahead and we look at it, when there's a change in the way commissions are done in real estate, this isn't the first time we've experienced a change. There was a change when this all started, where we said, okay, when a listing agent lists a property, they're going to share their commission with another agent who might be from another brokerage to represent the buyer. And people thought that was a little crazy. I mean, let's just go to our MLS. We're going to share our lists of names of people who want to sell homes. So it's gone through several evolutions, and we've still survived as realtors. And some things, I mean, don't get me wrong. When you go back to travel agents, they did survive a change. But they also didn't have a national association or anything like that that was working hard for them. So the smart thing that NAR did that we should all feel really good about is reaching a settlement, because that puts us in more control of the outcome. And NAR, they exist to take care of us realtors. That's what they're going to do. And so when you see a lot of things in the media that might look a little frightening, remember, their job is to get readers. And unfortunately, bad news does that. It gets spread. So you kind of have some rumors going around right now about that, because let's be honest, we're kind of getting sick about talking about politics. We need something new to fight about. So let's fight about realtor commissions, I guess.
Well, I mean, even President Biden, speaking of politics, did say, you know, he said that realtors, I can't remember the exact wording here. I have it. So let me pull it up, because I don't want
to get votes.
I don't want to. This is the first time Americans can negotiate lower commissions when they buy or sell a home.
Well, they say that to get votes or make sure they don't get votes, depending on the audience.
But it's just inaccurate. So I guess my thing is not that the media is putting these headlines out there to get readers. I feel like they're like, and I don't want to lump. I mean, we're media too.
Yes.
And our reporting has been extremely accurate.
Yes.
But like, what I'm more concerned about is that agents are now dealing with a lot of consumers coming to them saying, hey, I heard that, you know, I don't have to pay commissions anymore, or I heard that I only have to pay this much. And so what are you, you know, what are some things that you're coaching agents on how to handle those conversations?
Yeah, one thing to remind people is commissions have always been negotiable, even though there had been a average that was set, because to sell a home and do a great job, unfortunately, it's not free. And if you're going to do it at a really high level, sometimes you're going to have even more expenses. If it's one person dedicating the hours it takes to close a real estate transaction, in a lot of markets, the price they've been charging is pretty fair. In some markets, don't get me wrong, they have a price point that, I mean, I would trade them that market. They got lucky to live in it, but it's handling everything end to end at the highest level pays pretty well. You also have some in some of these places in the country. Like I got a friend in Michigan. Their average sales price is so low to close a transaction. If they're going to cut 3% out of that, or 1% or 2%, it gets to a point where people cannot afford to take that job, which means there's going to be less people available to do that job, which means it's not going to get done. And as long as people still need a job done, fees are going to be negotiable. That's probably, it's always been there. It's not going away. It's just the way we're wording it's changed a little bit. But this isn't something to panic about. When you're talking to your clients, remind them it's always been negotiable. And here's the cost to sell your home.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think that really there is a misconception that that full amount that they see going to commission is being paid to two agents and that's it. That they're getting that full amount. They're used to that $1 million listing program. You know, all the HGTV programs where these realtors look like they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And of course, you do have successful agents who are doing that, but the majority of them are not.
No. If you go look at the median income for a realtor.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's 50,000 or something from, according to NAR. I can't remember the exact amount, but it's something close to that. And so like when you're talking to consumers, like how are you outlining that value? How are you outlining where this money goes to, and how it all works? And do you think that it is necessary for agents to do a better job at that?
Yes. I'm going to just, some agents, bless them. They got into this industry. They did their best. Their best involves them taking pictures of the home on a camera phone. not a high quality one, you know, like maybe a 10-year-old one, but, and they maybe don't go ahead and invest in better tech platforms for document signing and things like that. Yes, the client's going to get a lower quality experience and they're getting what they paid for. Some people, when they go fly, they're not worried about the getting from point A to point B. They want the first class experience. Selling their home, they want the highest quality photos. They want the 360 tour. They want the, what's the architect thing? It shows the house's blueprint, everything.
The Matterport or?
They want an agent that knows the names of those things. That's important. Matterport, thank you. But they want the social media ads. They want the highest level of experience. And if you're an agent who offers that, right now you need to let the consumer know, because when they see that value, they don't have a hard time paying it. When you make it look easier, you don't tell them about it, or you overpromise and underdeliver, then people get this feeling that they've been taken advantage of. And if you have enough people feel like they've been taken advantage of, you end up in a class action lawsuit. If we go back to 2021, there were a lot of agents that didn't have to do a whole lot to sell a home. And there were a lot of buyer's agents that didn't have to do a lot to sell a home. And it was the way that the real estate organization operated, or the community at that time, that's gotten us where we're at today. And we're in a different market now. 2024, with the number of homes sold, 2021, you had 6.3 million homes sold. Last year, was it 4.2 million homes sold? So realtors already just got their commissions cut dramatically. And now they're wanting to go ahead and say, well, realtors, you're already getting paid less than you made. Hey, let's cut your commissions even lower and see if you still want to invest in that technology to get us top dollar.
. 2024 is the year to act, to make bold moves, tell better stories, and build brands that endure. At the 1000 Watt Brand and Marketing Summit, we're putting real estate experts like you in a room with some of the greatest marketing minds around, so you can turn your big ideas into action. Join us in Dallas, June 25th through the 27th, for a real estate event designed for doers. Get your tickets at 1000watt.net/summit. That's 1000watt.net/summit. Yeah, I find it fascinating. I also find it fascinating that there are reports that home prices, this is going to drive home prices down. And I have never heard of commissions being baked into a price of a home. The price of a home, it's supply and demand. It is the market setting the price. And so to me, that's a great explanation to a consumer as well, kind of outlining exactly how the home is priced.
That's exactly right. The seller doesn't choose the price of the home. The buyer does. Yes, the seller sets the commission, but the buyer, the home sells for the price the highest buyer is willing to pay. And sometimes it's that seller. To them, it's worth far more than it is to any other buyer. So the buyer sets the price of the home. It has nothing to do with real estate commissions.
I think most sellers think their house is worth a lot more. I mean, me as a homeowner, I would feel my house is worth a lot more than maybe, the price that I could actually get for it. So,
well, isn't it true that things that we as humans are more emotionally attached to have a higher value for us?
Of course. Yeah.
And that's true with a home. It's true with a family member. It's true with a lot of different things. There's nothing wrong with it. Someone else just isn't as emotionally attached as you, and that's okay.
Well, let's talk specifics. We'll first start with a buyer agent. How can
Yes.
a buyer agent, obviously there's going to be a requirement that a buyer representation agreement is signed. Different states have different agency relationships. I know Florida's a transaction brokerage state. Some are dual agency. You know, there are different models out there. So if you're a buyer agent, you've got this new form that you have to have signed that is mandatory. How do you change your buyer consultation appointment? Give me five things that you have to include in that presentation to really help the buyer understand what they're entering into?
I love that question. And just for the record, I did more buyer transactions in my 20s than anything sellers, and I loved it. For me, the first thing I did was I put together what I called a home shopping sheet, and I had them help me find the exact home we're looking for, because you can't be a good agent if you don't know what the client wants, and when it's written in front of them, it feels a little different. So doing a better consultation and getting to know what your client wants, first and foremost, because if you're going to do a good job, that's important. You got to know that. And that was one of my favorites. The second is you have to communicate what you're going to do for them. And just be clear. Hey, if you're working another job, nights and weekends, I am available to show houses. And that's what you tell them. But setting the proper expectations on what it's going to be like to work with you and being very upfront about that, because they might not be the client for you. Some buyers, their expectation is that you're going to show them 1,000 houses. And if you're clear with those expectations in the beginning on what you're going to do, what your expectations are of them, you're going to be able to provide a better service. And then get the paperwork out of the way. It's one of those things that, to be honest, I'm surprised, because if I'm buying a home and I knew there's a state form that said this person has a fiduciary interest in me and they're going to keep things confidential, I would happily sign it. But in some states, I live in Utah, we're one of them, we've had this form. And agents do not do a good job at times letting buyers know they signed it and what it means.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I think even like refinancing our home, the paperwork stack is like this big. And you don't read through all of that. So I do feel like in a buyer consultation, there has to be a sit down where you go over the form with them and you explain how commissions are paid and the expectations based on your negotiation with the seller and the listing agent. Because at this point, there's no guarantee of anything being paid. And so I feel like it's a really big part of the presentation at this point.
Well, let's be honest, as humans, we would rather talk about politics, religion, or our sex life than we would money. And we've got to get comfortable having those conversations with people that this is who I am and this is what I charge. And if you have a hard time with that, because let's be honest, when I was doing real estate, I did. Then sometimes you'd sit with someone, a peer, and say, hey, what is it we do for people that they value the most? And just check yourself on how good you are at those things. I believe when you're coming from, I genuinely want to do a great job for someone else. I want to take care of them. I want to give them the best experience. As we're going through this, you're going to be fine. If you're someone that you got into real estate just because you thought it was easy money, and let's be honest, a lot of people, it's kind of what they think, you're probably not going to like this industry, because there's a lot of taking care of people. And those who do, we make this industry great.
Yeah, I have to throw back to one of your comments about the buyers expecting to be shown 1,000 houses. Good luck in this market. There aren't even 1,000 houses available in their whole city, probably.
No, gosh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So let's go at it from a listing agent, a listing presentation explaining that that commission and how it gets paid, and finding out if the seller is open to sharing that compensation, what they're willing to do. What's your advice for those presentations?
Well, there's nothing wrong with going ahead and doing things the way we have done. We just have to change the way that looks on the MLS. My conversation with the seller right now is, the more money you allow me to pay every other agent out there, the more of them, more buyers are coming to your property, which means with more people looking at it, the demand goes up. Supply, you only have one to sell, which automatically means demand high, supply is low, price goes up. That's simple. If we want to go ahead and have some buyers think, I don't know. If I buy that house, I'm also going to have to pay my agent a little bit extra. I just don't want to do that. Or if they go ahead and the buyer's agent knows they can make more money on another property, they're not even going to want to tell their buyers about it. I mean, for me, I would tell my seller, if they're motivated, we want to be aggressive here. Let's go ahead and make sure I'm going to tell you, you're going to pay me for, and tell them what I do as a listing agent, what you're hiring me to do to market your home, what you're doing so I can get it in front of everybody, and what I'm going to do to negotiate top dollar for you. And then I'm going to incentivize as part of that marketing everyone out there who has a buyer. And truthfully, if I'm interested in getting that seller top dollar, there's a lot of agents that are going to say, I like the good old times. I want to go sell that house.
Yeah, but I mean, that might be the argument against it, because that's part of what they were saying, that, you know, based on what the listing agent's offering the buyer's agent, that person's property won't get shown. I feel like in a low inventory market, that's not necessarily true. There aren't enough homes to go around. So are you really going to not show your buyer a home because the commission isn't high enough for you? I mean,
in an ideal world, we would like to say that people aren't like that. Unfortunately, there's some places, some states where an agent might only have 2 or 3 transactions a year. And if they're giving up a large amount of money for them, you know what? They might be tempted to make a bad decision.
Yeah. And that would be a bad decision, because I think that it's also a negotiation to be had if your buyer really loves that property. And I think a good agent would do that too. So yeah.
It's a lack of clear communication between the realtor community and buyers and sellers that got us where we are. And it's going to be clear communication getting it. It's going to get us through this together. And that's the thing that we have to remember. And that's the thing that I'd say most realtors do best. And just having those conversations. But right now, we should be excited because the rules of real estate are being rewritten right in front of us. This is historical. And anytime there's a big change like that, if you watch, there's a lot of opportunity that wasn't there before.
Yeah, I actually talked to an agent. This is pre any type of settlement, and she has a breakdown of, here's what I spend to market your property, here's the commission, here's where it goes. You know, it doesn't all go to me. So I'm spending this much on your property. So those are my costs that come out of this money. And she sets it up in such a way that it just totally makes sense. And it's communication. It's being transparent. I think she has it in a little pie chart of, you know, and so I love that. And I think that there's also a list, NAR, and I know it's on Florida Realtor's site, of everything that a buyer's agent does for the buyer and a listing agent does, because I think some agents aren't really clear what their value is, you know, and having one of those lists is an easy way to say, okay, I do this, I do this, I do this. Okay, I realize and I can explain that. But it's going to, I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities. I think you're going to see some new business models out of this. You're going to see some innovation. You're going to see the top agents get stronger. Because they're going to adapt and really do a great job at it.
I think you're absolutely right. When people wonder, will realtors be around? The one thing that makes a difference is realtors are able to go ahead and keep the emotion in check. And sometimes we all need it, because that seller's emotionally attached to that house and that buyer's getting emotionally attached. And sometimes they're arguing about a garbage disposal needing to be fixed. And a great conversation with a realtor can say, really, is this going to be the thing that breaks the deal? And there's a lot of times that facilitating a transaction is impossible without another human. So having a trained expert to do that as a realtor is kind of an essential thing, and probably will be for quite a while, because homes are simply not commodities. If a home were a commodity, then yeah, it could just be anybody, but that's just not the case here.
Yeah. And in the beginning of our conversation, you mentioned kind of the cycle. And I do remember I've been in the real estate business for a long time as a journalist, magazine editor, and then with Real Trends and Housing Wire. And I remember the whole push to do away with dual agency, and the representation of a buyer is very important. And it, you know, is a huge push that kind of started this cooperation and compensation and really drove it as well. And it's interesting that we're coming full circle, well, not even full circle. You know, we're doing a 180 to change that which is just surprising to me.
Yeah, well, people said that wasn't going to work, and it worked for a while. And who knows, maybe we go ahead and we change back. Maybe we had it right.
Yeah.
The important thing that people need to keep in perspective is people are still going to need to sell. People are still going to buy. They're still going to need a professional to represent them. And as long as you're going to do a great job for them, you're always going to have a job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about digital marketing as far as, you know, I mean, even things that they can do related to transparency in the transaction. So what are some of the biggest mistakes you see agents making when it comes to their social media, especially related to whatever they're posting about NAR?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I'm still shocked and blown away sometimes when I see a realtor post something that's a little polarizing on social media.
Yeah.
Because they forget that one opinionated polarizing post is going to alienate a series of people. Yes, it will bond you with some, but it'll take you away from others. So that's the first thing I see, that avoiding highly polarizing content and maybe asking your audience for an opinion when you're posting that. Like, hey, I saw this article. What do you think? Because you don't want to alienate people through your marketing and your personal marketing. The way you market yourself is the first thing that people pay attention to. In your business marketing, with a lot of people, I saw people mark themselves safe from the NAR thing. And I don't know if their intention was to go ahead and try to educate there in real estate, or it was to try to go ahead and tell the consumer, ha ha, we won anyway. But I don't know if it wasn't something I did. If you're trying to get people to talk about you, I think that's how Trump won in 16, as he just was always in the media. They were always talking about him. Right now, the realtors are kind of eating up his talk time this year. And last time COVID beat up his being in the media. So, but the reason that you're posting it, if you have an intention, that's the right way to do it. You know why you did it. But just reactive posting something like that without a clear intention, it's not going to do well. I think a lot of people are missing an opportunity with artificial intelligence to go ahead and ask artificial intelligence to speak to me about the way a buyer and seller currently might feel after reading about the NAR settlement and see what the AI spits out. Because it's going to give you a similar opinion. And then being able to tailor your marketing that's sympathetic to that point of view when you're doing a post on digital media, it's going to be huge. And it's going to be, you're going to get a little bit more better traction out of it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think kind of educating consumers on what this really means is really important. And instead of making light of it or, you know, like you said, I saw that same thing that it marked you safe from the settlement. And I don't know. I thought it was odd. I thought it was a joke at first. And I think it was a joke in a lot of cases, but it really wasn't something to joke about.
It was the joke that got out of hand.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me some tips, you know, based on that, like what can you do to bring those online relationships offline in the same vein of providing value?
Well, first thing is, and I love the way you said it, it's bringing the relationships offline. It is a relationship. Relationships take nurturing. They've got to know you're there. They got to know that you care about them, stuff like that. Sometimes just taking it offline is actually those old-fashioned things like sending a birthday card every once in a while or calling them and things like that. And sometimes it's really a little bit more high level. I love it when people invite their database, their friends and family, to just a simple open house, and they do something to make it fun. You know, you can do themed open houses. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of your sellers will like that. There's nothing wrong with having a black tie open house and you have to get dressed up to come in. But it's, and the photos from that, the way you sell a home with that, it's pretty empowering. And when you can engage your audience in the process of selling a home, it creates a lot of excitement for people. It reminds them you're the professional.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some other things you've seen out there recently that you were really impressed with agents doing on social?
The thing that I really saw, and I saw a lot of and I was excited about, is just people going ahead and going live and giving their perspective. Because it's important that their audience, their people, they go ahead and they know where they stand on this. this. And if you don't address it, you're kind of missing a big opportunity, because they can get real estate information a lot of different places. Most of them, they want your interpretation of the information because you're their trusted expert. And I saw a lot of agents do a great job getting in front of that. I saw a lot of people just very proactively reach out and say what they know. And the other thing, this is still pretty recent. If you haven't done that, it might be a great thing just to go ahead and tell your friends and family, hey, just I'm going to do a video real quick so everyone doesn't have to call me one at a time. And here's what happened and this is what it means.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great idea. Even a series of like even YouTube videos kind of explaining some of the myths and just being very direct, straightforward, and not controversial in any way or angry would be a great thing to do. So, yeah. So where do you see the most opportunity in the market today or in the industry today?
I think that right now, everyone's eyes kind of shifted off this whole mortgage rate thing. And we went ahead and it's like, we forgot. We started into, hey, what's going to happen with rates, to, hey, should I do wraparounds? Should we be looking back at, you know, assuming loans, stuff like that? I think right now, the place people need to focus is affordability. Because with prices going up as much as they have, and in some areas, the job market hasn't done much better, having a great understanding of what type of loans qualify for assumptions, which ones don't, what can happen so a buyer could assume an interest rate of a seller that's one of those 2-3% dream rates, and what it looks like, what kind of money do they have to come in with and stuff like that. But getting very educated on those different financing options, because let's be honest, if you're the only one that can find financing for someone that's affordable, who wants to buy a home, you're a little bit more value. And if you're listing a home that has those options and you can take a buyer through those or the buyer's agent, you're going to be able to do a better service for your seller, and your value is going to go a lot further. And when you look at things like these wraparounds, these assumptions, these different things that realtors know, it really demonstrates our value when we're putting in the extra effort into things like this that really matter. And home affordability will always matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm going to get personal here, and I want to know your greatest aha moment in your business so far.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just going to go ahead and say it was that when I realized I wasn't the expert in everything and that my job was to find out who was and to go be in business with them, everything changed. And that's from your mentors, the people you surround yourself with, having great people that challenge you, help you grow. Having a great support team, having a great assistant, that was everything for me. And the reason was I can remember my early days of real estate doing it all and putting up every sign myself and sitting down and using Microsoft Publisher to go ahead and design flyers and things like that. When I learned it was a better investment to hire someone who knew how to do those things, did them better than me, I had happier clients. I had happier I had people that worked for me. They brought referrals. I did an all around better job. And just simply taking a self inventory and saying, here's where I'm really good, which the real estate negotiation side I enjoy. And I enjoy the listing presentation side, the buyer consultation side. I love calling and talking to people, but gosh dang it, I hate paperwork. And when you go ahead, you can have someone do that for you. It's going to give you more energy. You're going to feel better during the day. You can focus on the things you're good at. And that's just mine. If you're the better paperwork person, find a structure where you can do paperwork. But going out there and constantly growing your career by investing in others to help you bring a better consumer experience, that was the aha that was life-changing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I wish I could be offloading some of the things that I don't like to do. So I understand that very much. My final question is just rapid fire, like three best tips for building a successful business in today's kind of contentious, chaotic market.
Three biggest tips. First, go back to your relationships, the people that you know, and clearly articulate what you're wanting to do and why you're wanting to do it. If you just go ahead and say, hey, listen, I want to make a lot of money. You're my closest friend in the world. Please help me. They'll probably help you do it. If you share like a much bigger thing, like it gives me a lot of satisfaction to go ahead and help someone buy a home. Can you help me? Yes, they will. But the people that are closest to you are most likely going to help you. you're probably going to want to reach out and ask for help, and don't stop asking for help right now. Hey, I need some help. What's the best way for me to communicate the message? Real estate's going to be okay. So making sure you're prioritized, taking care of your closest relationships, that's a big one right now. Second biggest is accurately analyzing your priorities every day, knowing what stuff has to get done, because some stuff, we have deadlines in this industry, we have things that are time sensitive, yet there's other things that still have to happen that can't be overlooked, like we have to do a great job on marketing, we have to make time to show properties, but accurately analyzing what priorities, that's the second most important. So people, priorities, and if I had to say a third, it's maintaining this emotional energy that you love your life and you love what you're doing, because when you feel good, you do good. So making sure your personality is just, you genuinely love this, you love what you're doing, because if you don't, you can't do a good job and you're robbing yourself from an opportunity to do something you might be better at.
Mindset, it's everything.
That's it. It's that passion.
Yep. Well, Craig, thanks so much for joining the Real Trending podcast. I really had a great time, and it's been some really good insight as well. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Real Trending. If you haven't already, we'd love it if you'd take a minute to rate the show or leave a comment. And we will see you next week with more news and insights.